Chapter 9. Ramon, if he was Ramon, squatted, his elbows resting on his knees, hands wrapped around his bowed head. Manek, looming beside him, explained in its deep, sorrowful voice. The man who had discovered the alien hive had been Ramon Espejo. There had been no one following him, no constable, no other van from the south. The discovery of the nest in itself had constituted contradiction, and in order to correct the illusion that the man existed, he had been attacked. He had escaped, but not uninjured. An appendage, a finger, had been torn from him in the attack. That flesh had acted as the seed for the creation of a made thing, I, Eutheloi, that had participated in the original being's flow and woken with Ramon's memory and knowledge. Manek had to explain twice before Ramon truly understood that it meant him.
You participate in his flow, Manek said. All of the whole is present in the fragment, and the fragment may express the whole. There was some loss of fidelity, and the decision was made to favor functional knowledge and immediate recall over precise physical approximation. As you progress, you collapse into the form that shaped the fragment.
I am Ramon Espejo, Ramon said, and you are a lying whore with breath like a Russian's asshole.
Both of these things are incorrect, Manek said patiently.
You're lying.
The language you use is not a proper thing. The function of communication is to transmit knowledge. To lie would fail to transmit knowledge. That is not possible.
Ramon's face went hot, then cold. You're lying, he whispered.
No, the alien said sadly. You are a made thing.
Ramon surged to his feet, but Manek didn't step back. The great orange eyes flickered.
I am Ramon Espejo, Ramon shouted. I flew that van out here. I set the charges. Me! I am the one that did that. I'm not some fucking finger grown in a fucking vat.
You are becoming agitated, Manek said. Contain your anger, or I will use the pain.
Use it, Ramon shouted. Go on, you coward. Are you afraid of me?
He gathered saliva in his mouth and spit full into Manek's face. The glob of spittle struck the alien beneath one eye and ran slowly down the side of its face. Manek seemed more puzzled than offended, displaying none of the normal human revulsion. It wiped the spit away carefully and stared at the wetness of its fingers.
What is the meaning of this action? It asked. I sense that this substance is not venomous. Does it have a function?
All the fight went out of Ramon, like air rushing from a pricked balloon. Wipe your face, pendejo, he whispered, and then sank to a crouch, wrapping his arms around his knees. It was true. He was an abomination. Cold sweat broke out on his forehead, his armpits, the back of his knees. He was coming to believe what Manek had said. He was not the real Ramon Espejo. He wasn't even really human. He was some monster born in a vat, an unnatural thing only 3 days old. Everything he remembered was false, had happened to some other man, not to him. He'd never been out of the mountain before. Never broken heads in a bar fight, never fucked a woman. He'd never even met a real human being, in spite of his memories of all the people he thought he knew. How he wished he had never come here, never set that fateful charge. And then he realized that he had not done any of those things. It had been the other who had done them. All of the past belonged to the other. He had nothing but the present, nothing but Manek and surrounding forest. He was nothing. He was nobody. He was a stranger to the world. The thought was vertiginous, almost unthinkable, and deliberately, with an enormous effort of will, he put it aside. To think deeply about it would lead to madness. Instead, he concentrated on the physical world around him, the cold wind in his face, the clouds scuttling through an ominous indigo sky. Whoever or whatever he was alive, out in the world, reacting to it with animal intensity. The ice root smelled as good as his false memories said it should. The wind felt as cool and refreshing as it swept across the meadow. The immense vista of the Sierra Hueso on the far horizon, sun flashing off the snow caps on the highest peaks, was as beautiful as it ever was, and the beauty of it lifted his heart, as it always did. "The body keeps on living," he thought bitterly, "even when we do not wish it to." He forced the thought from his mind. He couldn't afford despair if he was going to survive. Nothing had changed, regardless of his origin. Whether he'd been grown in a pot like a chili pepper, or popped bloody and screaming out of his mother's womb, he was Ramon Espejo, no matter what the alien said, no matter what his hands looked like. He had to be, because there was no one else to be. What difference did it make if there was another man out there that also thought that he was him, or 100 such? He was alive, right here and now, in this instant, whether he was 3 days old or 30 years. And that was what mattered. He was alive, and he intended to stay that way. He looked up at the alien, who was waiting with surprising patience. "How can what you say be true?" Ramon said through tight lips. "I'm not an ignorant peasant. I know what a clone is. It's just a baby that has to grow up, like every baby. It wouldn't have my memories. It doesn't work like that."
"You know nothing of what we can and cannot do," Manek chided. "And yet you assert otherwise. You refer to the creation of a novel individual from a similar gross molecular template. That process would be development. You are the expression of recapitulation. The two are dissimilar."
Manek paused.
"The thought fits poorly in your language, but if you were to gain enough ataka to understand it fully, you would diverge further from the model. It interferes with our tata kroida."
"My belly, my arm, the scars I had."
"Perfect fidelity was sacrificed. As time progresses, they will tend toward the forms that express the whole."
"I'll get my scars back."
"All of your physical systems will continue to approximate the source form. The information retrieval is similarly progressing."
"My memory. You're saying that all this is fucking with my memory, too?"
"To better approximate is to better approximate," it said. "This is self-evident."
Ramon stared at Manek. All at once, he realized why the aliens didn't have sex. They were grown in vats, too, just like he had been. Maybe they'd been created in the same one. He and this ugly son of a bitch were brothers, more alike than either of them were like the real Ramon Espejo.
"You've made me a monster, just like you," he said bitterly, feeling himself beginning to shake again. "I'm not even human anymore."
The Sahel pulsed once, as if in warning, and Ramon's belly went cold and tight with fear. But the pain didn't come. Instead, to Ramon's great surprise, Manek extended one long, oddly jointed arm and placed its hand awkwardly on Ramon's shoulder, like a gesture of comfort copied from a bad description.
"You are a living creature, possessed of rete you," it said. "Your origin is of no consequence, and you should not concern yourself with it. You may still fulfill your tata kroida by exercising your function. No living being can aspire to more than that." This was close enough to his earlier thoughts to give him pause. He pushed the thing's arm away and stood up. The Sahel thinned and extended, letting him walk some distance away. Surprising Ramon again, Manek made no attempt to follow. At the fire pit, Ramon sat, taking the cigarette case from the ground, flipping it open. It was the nearest thing he'd had to a mirror since he'd been lifted from the vat. His face was smoother than the one he was accustomed to, fewer lines at the corners of his eyes. The moles and scars were gone. His hair was finer and lighter. He looked different, unformed. He looked young. He looked like himself, but also not. The world threatened to whirl around him again, and he steadied himself with his hands, his palms against the solid ground of Sao Paulo, anchoring himself in reality, anchoring himself in the present. If what Manek had revealed was true, if there was another Ramon Espejo out there, that changed everything. There was no advantage to stalling anymore. If the other Ramon returned to Fiddler's Jump, there might be a reaction to his story of a secret alien base, sure. But neither that other Ramon nor anyone else would have any idea that he existed. An armed party might come to follow up or even attack the aliens, but they wouldn't be looking for him. Maybe if he could actually find that other Ramon, though, together they could somehow turn the tables on the alien. He knew what he himself would have done if he knew he were being hunted. He would have found a way to kill his hunters. And that, now, was Ramon's only chance. If he could alert the other Ramon that he was being pursued, and trust him to take the right action, together they might destroy the alien that held his leash. For a moment, he hoped deeply that what Manek had said was the truth, that there was another mind like his own out, free, in the wilderness. He felt an odd surge of pride in that other Ramon. In spite of these monsters and all the powers at their command, he had gotten away from them, fooled them, showed them what a man could do. But would the other Ramon help him? Or would he be as horrified by him as he was by the alien? If he helped the other Ramon escape from his pursuers, surely the other Ramon would be grateful. Ramon tried to imagine himself turning away someone who had come to his aid when he was most in need. He didn't believe it was a thing he would do. He would embrace this new man like a brother, hide him, help him, set him up in business, maybe go into business with him. Ramon spat. That was bullshit. No. Instead, he'd put a knife between the other Ramon's, his, ribs, and laugh while the alien abomination died. And yet, what other choice did he have? The other Ramon was Manek's enemy, too. It was a common ground for now, and if there was a way to kill Manek and free himself from the Sahel, then he could handle the rest later. The questions of who and what he was, how he'd fit into a world with another Ramon in it, they'd have to wait. Survival came first. Freedom from this slavery came first. And the first thing to do was to earn Manek's trust. Make it think that he was wholeheartedly cooperating, lull it into a sense of false security until he could find the chance to put a blade in the alien's throat. The plan, amorphous as it was, steadied him. If he had a scheme, there was at least a way to move forward.
"You have calmed yourself," Manek said. Ramon hadn't heard it approach.
"Yes, demon," Ramon said. "I suppose I have." He flipped open the cigarette case. It was empty, save for the engraved Mi Corazon that Elena had had etched in the silver. My heart. "Here, my heart, smoke yourself to death." Ramon chuckled.
"I do not understand your reaction," the alien said. "You will explain it."
"I just wanted a cigarette," Ramon said, keeping his tone friendly.
"See how safe I am? See how ready I am to cooperate with you?"
"Looks like that greedy fuck out there smoked them all. Too bad, eh?
Ah, I would enjoy a good smoke. He thought wistfully of the cigarette he'd used to light the fuse all that time ago, or that the other had used, the cigarette he had smoked with other lungs in another lifetime.
What is a smoke? Manek said.
Ramon sighed. When it wasn't like speaking to a foreigner, it was like speaking to a child. He tried to describe a cigarette to the creature. Manek's snout began to twitch in revulsion before Ramon had half-finished.
I do not comprehend the function of smoking, Manek said. The function of the lungs is to oxygenate the body. Does not filling the lungs with the fumes of burning plants and the waste products of their incomplete combustion interfere with this function? What is the purpose of smoking?
Smoking gives us cancer, he said, repressing a grin. The alien seemed so solemn and puzzled that he could not resist the impulse to have a little fun with it.
Ah, and what is cancer?
Ramon explained.
That is Albre,
Manek said, its voice harsh and grating in its alarm.
Your function is to find the man, and you will not be permitted to interfere with this purpose. Do not attempt to thwart me by contracting cancer.
Ramon chuckled, then laughed. One wave of hilarity seemed to overrush the next, and soon he was holding his side and coughing with the strength of the laughter shaking him. Manek moved nearer, its crest rising and falling in a way that made Ramon think it was questioning, like a child who has to ask her parents what she has said to amuse them.
Are you having a seizure? Manek demanded.
It was too much. Ramon howled and kicked his feet, pointing at the alien in derision. He couldn't speak. The absurdity of his situation and the powerful strain his mind had been under amplified the humor of Manek's confusion until he was helpless before it. The alien moved forward and then back, agitated and uncertain. Slowly, the fit faded, and Ramon found himself spent, lying on the ground.
You are unwell? Manek asked.
I'm fine, Ramon said. I'm fine. You, though, are very funny.
I do not understand.
No, no, you don't. That's what makes you funny. You are a funny, funny, sad little devil. Manek stared solemnly at him.
You are fortunate that I am not in cohesion, it said. If I were, we would destroy you at once and start again with another duplicate, as such fits indicate that you are a defective organism. Why did you undergo this seizure? Is it a symptom of cancer?
Stupid cabron, Ramon said. I was laughing.
Explain laughing. I do not comprehend this function.
He groped for an explanation the alien would understand. Laughter is a good thing, he said weakly. Pleasurable. A man who cannot laugh is nothing. It is part of our function.
This is not so, Manek replied. Laughing halts the flow. It interferes with proper function.
Laughing makes me feel good, Ramon said. When I feel good, I function better. It's like food, you see?
That is an incorrect statement. Food provides energy for your body. Laughing does not.
A different kind of energy. When something is funny, I laugh.
Explain funny.
He thought for a minute, then recalled a joke he had heard the last time he was in Little Dog. Eloy Chavez had told it to him when they went drinking together. Listen then, monster, he said, and I will tell you a funny story. The telling did not go very well. Manek kept interrupting with questions, asking for definitions and explanations, until Ramon finally said irritably, Son of a whore, the story will not be funny if you do not shut up and let me tell it to you. You are ruining it with all your questions.
"Why does this make the incident less funny?" Manek asked.
"Never mind," Ramon snapped. "Just listen."
The alien said nothing more, and this time Ramon told it straight through without interruption. But when he was finished, Manek twitched its snout and stared at him from expressionless orange eyes.
"Now you are supposed to laugh," Ramon told it. "That was a very funny story."
"Why is this incident funny?" it said. "The man you spoke of was instructed to mate with a female of his species and kill a large carnivore. If this was his tatacroida, he did not fulfill it. Why did he mate with the carnivore instead? Was he Aubre? The creature injured him and might have killed him. Did he not understand that this might be the result of his actions? He behaved in a contradictory manner."
"That's why the story is funny. Don't you understand? He fucked the chupacabra."
"Yes, I comprehend that," Manek said. "Would the story not be more funny if the man had performed his function properly?"
"No, no, no! It would not be funny at all, then."
He glanced sidelong at the alien, sitting there like a great, solemn lump, its face grave, and couldn't help but start to laugh again. And then the pain came, world-rending, humiliating, abasing. It lasted longer than he had remembered, hellish and total and complex as nausea. When at last it ended, Ramon found himself curled tight in a ball, his fingers scrabbling at the Sahel, which pulsed with his own heartbeat. To his shame, he was weeping. Betrayed as a dog kicked without cause, Manek stood over him, silent and implacable, and in that moment, to Ramon, a figure of perfect evil.
"Why?" Ramon shouted, ashamed to hear the break in his voice. "Why? I didn't do anything!"
"You threaten to contract cancer to avoid our purpose. You engage in a seizure that impairs your functioning. You take pleasure in contradictions. You take pleasure in the failure to integrate. This is Aubre. Any sign of Aubre will be punished thus."
"I laughed," Ramon whispered. "I only laughed."
"Any laughter will be punished thus."
Ramon felt something like vertigo. He had forgotten. He had forgotten again that this thing on the far end of his tether was not a strangely shaped man. The mind behind the opaque orange eyes was not a human mind. It had been easy to forget, and it had been dangerous. If he was to live, if he was to escape this and return to the company of human beings, he had to remember that this thing was not like him. He was a man, however he had been created, and Manek was a monster. He had been a fool to treat it otherwise.
"I will not laugh again," Ramon said, "or get cancer."
Manek said nothing more, but sat down next to him. Silence stretched between them, a gulf as strange and dark as the void between stars. Many times Ramon had felt estranged from the people he was forced to deal with, Norteamericanos, Brazilians, or even the full-blooded Mexicanos to whom he was related courtesy of rape. They thought differently, those strangers, felt things differently, could not wholly be trusted because they could not wholly be understood. Often women, even Elena, made him feel that way too. Perhaps that was why he had spent so much of his life by himself, why he was more at home alone in the wilderness than he had ever been with the others of his kind. But all of them had more in common with him than Manek ever could. He was separated from a Norteamericano by history, culture, and language. But even a gringo knew how to laugh and got mad when you spat on him. No such common ground united Ramon and Manek. Between them lay light years and a million centuries of evolution. He could take nothing for granted about the thing at the other end of the Sahel. The thought made him colder than the breeze from the mountains. It was something Mikael Ibrahim, the manager of the El Rey, had said more than once. If lions could speak, we still wouldn't understand them. His only chance was to never let himself forget that he was tethered to a lion. Manek nudged him.
Time to resume our functioning.
Give me a minute, Ramon said. I don't think I can walk yet. Manek was silent for a time, then turned and began pacing between the abandoned lean-to and the trees. The Sahel tugged and stretched as the alien moved. Ramon tried to ignore it. Somewhere in the blindness that was the Sahel's punishment, Ramon had bit his tongue. His mouth tasted of blood. Not alien ichor. Coppery, human blood. When he spat, it was red. If he had harbored any doubt or fears that he might have been something inhuman after Manek and his fellow demons had done whatever it was they had done to him, they were gone now. Manek had shown how far removed it was from humanity, and so it had also shown how much Ramon was indeed a man. "There's something," Ramon said. "The plan you have, watching me and then searching. If I'm really the same as the pendejo that's out there now, I can tell you some things that he'd do. Specific things, not just something any man might think of." Manek strode back to Ramon's side as he stood, and brushed ashes and litter from his alien robes.
"You have insight into the man's probable flow," Manek said. "You will express this insight."
"The river," Ramon said. "He'll head toward the river. If he can make it there and build a raft, he can ride it down to Fiddler's Jump. There are fish to eat, and the water's safe to drink. He could travel day and night both, and he wouldn't have to rest. It would be the best thing for him to do." Manek was silent, its snout moving as if tasting the idea. And why not, Ramon thought. Tasting ideas was no stranger than anything else about the creature that controlled him.
"The man was here," Manek said at last. "If it is his function to approach the river, it becomes a better expression of our Tata Croida. You have functioned well. To avoid Aubrey is better than funny."
"If you say so."
"We will proceed," Manek said,
and led Ramon back to the flying box. As they swooped over the forest, he began to think more carefully about the campsite they had left behind. Small things tugged at his attention. Why had the other Ramon left the camp and returned to it so many times? Why had he gone to the trouble of catching and skinning animals when there were perfectly good sug beetles to eat? Where was the spit he'd used to roast the little animals? Slowly, it occurred to Ramon that his double out there in the bush was up to something. There was a plan forming besides his own, and he couldn't quite make out its shape. And if he was Ramon Espejo, remade from a bit of flesh by unthinkable alien technology, if he was truly identical to the man out there, the man he remembered being, shouldn't he already know what it was? Perhaps his simple acceptance of his identity wasn't as straightforward as he'd thought. He found himself wondering whether the Sahel could do more than humiliate him with pain. Perhaps it could slide some sort of drug into his blood that made him calmer, more accepting, more likely to ignore the questions that arose from his curious situation. Now that he considered it, this was not how he would have expected himself to react. The alien had instructed him not to diverge from his identity as Ramon Espejo, and he had followed that order. Was that really how a man would react? Was that how he would have reacted if his route to this moment hadn't been through the vat? There was no way to know. All he could do was dismiss these doubts from his mind and pin his hopes on that other Ramon Espejo, who was lurking somewhere out there in the forest. He was probably close. 3 days, Manek had said, the other had been running. It was almost 5 now. He guessed that he could cover 30 kilometers in a day, especially with all the demons of hell on his heels. That would put his twin almost to the river by day's end, unless his wounds had slowed him, unless he had become septic and died alone in the woods, far from help. Ramon shuddered at the thought, but then dismissed it. That was Ramon Espejo out there. A tough-ass bastard like that wasn't going to die easy. Jesus God, he better not.